Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text 1, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Uh-huh, here we have a professional. Come on.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanahamavyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit.
Lord Krishna is giving the history of Bhagavad Gita here. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is timeless because the knowledge here, it is not subject to change according to time, place and circumstance. Sometimes people say that, well, this spiritual knowledge was all right in the past. Now we have science and technology. However, what Lord Krishna speaks of in Bhagavad Gita is not changed by any circumstances in human society. We do have science and technology and machines. We also have still repeated birth and death. The sufferings of material life are no less now because we have technology than they were previously. And the existential facts of life, that we are eternal spirit souls, that remains the same also. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that we are eternal spirit soul, that we are transmigrating from body to body because we are envious of Krishna. That is as much a fact now as it was when Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to the Sun God millions of years ago. Of course, when we say Lord Krishna spoke to Vivasvan millions of years ago, even long before that it was spoken, because this knowledge is eternal and it is presented in human society from time to time when it becomes forgotten, as explained in the next two verses of this chapter. Now, Bhagavad Gita, the presentation of it may be a little different according to the time, place and circumstance. Bhagavad Gita, as we are reading it today, was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was spoken to Vivasvan under different circumstances, but the same essential spiritual knowledge was presented. That we are not these bodies, we are eternal spirit soul. We are eternal servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore we should serve Him. The same knowledge was presented. Now, Lord Krishna is presenting this history of Bhagavad Gita. One point we can deduce from this is the timelessness of Gita. Another thing, we can understand how important it is if it is again and again being presented in human society. In the modern age, people are always interested in something new. Now that consumer products have come to Russia, you'll find everything is advertised as new. New soap powder. New Coca-Cola. Everything new. New model car. New pop music song. But our Vedic culture is not presenting something new all the time. They have the idea that all is not very good, we should always have something new. They have the idea that all is not good, we should always have something new. And actually that's a fact. In the material world, that which is old is not very good, generally speaking. You see, they advertise everything showing young women, not old women. If they advertise some kind of perfume with an old woman, no one will like to buy it. We find that the old women are putting on cosmetics to try to look like young women, but we never find the young women are putting on cosmetics to make themselves look like old women. But in Vedic culture, there's a different idea. Instead of trying to enjoy this material world, which is impossible anyway, we are interested in understanding the absolute truth, which is unchanging. We'll find after two verses, Lord Krishna says, "Sa eva yang mayate dya yoga prokta paratanaha." I am speaking that knowledge of yoga to you today, which is very old. He's advertising this is good because it is old, not that it is good because it is new. If in spiritual culture we find something advertised new, we are always very afraid. New idea means imagination, speculation. We have a new idea, new incarnation of God. New mantra. Maha mantra is no good anymore, bring a new mantra. We don't like these ideas. That which is old, that which is correct, is good. If something is correct, there is no need to change it. Some people say we are searching after the truth. Why search? We have it right here. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why are you making such a big show? I am searching for the truth. Why don't you find it? It's right here. But then always be searching. No, I'm trying this, I'm trying that. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Mix up this philosophy with that philosophy. Change it every day. This is eclectic idiocy. Idiocy. The truth is as it is. Just like if we say, I'm researching what is 2 plus 2. I don't believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4. I want to make a new theory. But will he be accepted as a very intelligent person? I'm convinced that 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. We should make some new research. It's just nonsense. That's why you're laughing, because it's nonsense. So why do you have to research to find out who is God? Who is God is God. It doesn't change according to your opinion. We hear people say, well, in my opinion, God is like this or like that. You rascal, God doesn't depend upon your opinion. You depend upon His opinion. But you are saying, I think this, I think that. Well, who are you to think anything? Who cares for your 2 kopeck opinion? You're just a tiny, tiny living being. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going to. You're completely in ignorance. You have a few cells in your brain which are working. And you're speculating a few big theories. I think God is like this. I think God is like that. And here God Himself is speaking. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Here I am. I'm God. Everything comes from me. But they will make research to find out who is God. And God is coming and you don't accept. When Krishna was personally present, there were so many rascals who didn't accept Him as God. So He proved to them He is God by cutting off their head and in various ways pummeling them to dust, smashing them to pieces. Everyone thinks, I am supreme. And sometimes demons, they get the opportunity to play the game of being supreme. Just like Kamsa thought, I am so powerful. I have so many good friends, like Bhakka, Putana, Agha, Shakarta, Trinavarta. They're my good friends. So between us, we will subdue all the demigods. I'll make alliances with all the demoniac kings. I will make alliances with all the demoniac kings and I will stop all Vedic sacrifices. In this way I will control the universe. So he was thinking, I am God. Every living being is thinking, I am God. Yeah. Even the cockroach is thinking, Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham balavan sukhi, I am perfect, powerful and happy. But just like to the cockroach comes death in the form of insect spray. Then he has to... Have you seen? They go on their back and they're crawling like this. So Kamsa met death in the form of Krishna. He was thinking, I am controlling. But all his friends, one after another, were killed by this little boy, Krishna. And eventually Krishna came to Mathura. He was called by Kamsa. And he simply wandered in the city without caring for the law and order of Kamsa. He was simply walking in the city without any care, not caring for the police command of Kamsa. The washerman came, demon. He told him, you better be careful, otherwise the king will punish you. So Krishna punished him and simply wandered in the street very happily, not caring for anything. Kamsa was simply sitting in his palace having nightmares. Then Krishna killed the elephant, Kuvalayapi. And Kamsa was beginning to get afraid. And he sent big wrestlers, Chanara and Mushtika. Everyone was afraid. How can these big wrestlers fight with these little boys, Krishna and Balaram? But Krishna and Balaram very quickly finished them off. Huge, huge guys. And here's little Krishna and Balaram, just little boys. So then more wrestlers came. Finished. Then more came. And they're also finished. And the rest all ran away. And Kamsa was sitting, started shouting, arrest them. Krishna ran up, boom, ran up to him and beat him to pieces. Dragged him in front of everybody. Just see, he's dead. Everybody was so afraid of him. They were so afraid of him and Kamsa was enjoying that feeling, everyone is under my control. Do you know that story of Stalin? He's like Kamsa of the modern age. That he told some story, how to keep the people under control. You know this story, he brought one chicken. He brought one chicken, brought it, live chicken, And he brought it and held it and pulled all its feathers out as it was alive. He was holding it and he pulled all the feathers out one by one. Yeah, as the chicken was alive, he was pulling out the feathers till it had no feathers left. Then he threw it on the floor and the chicken came around his boots. The chicken was so much terrorized that he knew that my life is in the hands of this man. Stalin said, this is the way you keep people under control. So demons, they enjoy that feeling of power, but they cannot enjoy it for very long. Whereas Krishna, he is far more powerful than any demon can imagine to be. The biggest demon in history was Hiranyakashipu, and he practically controlled the whole universe. So he couldn't imagine any bigger position. But what he didn't realize was that he was only superficially in control of one universe. There are millions and billions of universes, and they all come out of the body of Mahavishnu with his breathing. So even though he had a tremendous sense of being God, of being the supreme controller, he was still just like a fly. Whereas Krishna, he controls millions of universes, but he doesn't terrorize anybody. That's actually why there are material universes, because the spiritual universes are where Krishna rules by love. People ask, why are we in this material world? Why are we suffering here? Why doesn't God deliver us? The answer is because the spiritual world is a world of love. There's no police or army in the spiritual world. Because there's no scope for misbehavior. Everyone who lives there must be perfect. There's no question of fear or terrorization. Everyone who is there must be there voluntarily out of a sense of love, of wanting to serve Krishna. So if those who don't have that sense of voluntarily loving Krishna, they are not fit to remain in the spiritual world. Because that is an atmosphere of absolute trust. So much so that Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. So that kind of atmosphere is spoiled if even one person has a different concept. That is the special characteristic of the spiritual world, that no one is trying to enjoy themselves, they're simply trying to enhance Krishna's enjoyment. So Krishna comes to give us information of that spiritual world, where there is no nastiness, there's no badness. He comes to give us information of that. We are so contaminated, we find it difficult to accept. When we hear that Bhagavad Gita was spoken some hundreds of millions of years ago, we doubt it, because we learned at our stupid school that human history began only some 4,000 years ago. What a useless school. What a useless education system. They have no information, only going back such a short time. Because we only live for 50, 60, 70 years, they do not believe that there are beings who live for hundreds of millions of years. Their education system is so foolish. At school they teach you that we are descended from monkeys, that, everyone's name in Russia is something like Ivan Sergeyevich, and then his father is Sergey, so then Sergey's father, then Sergey is, Ivanovich, and then his father Ivan is Ivan, I don't know, Alexandrovich or something like that. Like that, right? So say that. So according to Charles Darwin, if you go back far enough, you'll get Ivan Monkeyvich. Such nonsense. And all civilization began, 3,000 years ago? What crazy things they teach you. So this chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. Darwin's theory, they're changing that in so many different ways. The scientific theories, they're changing in so many different ways. Because changing means they don't know. Oh, we have a new theory about evolution. Just like I read in the newspaper a few months ago, that they thought life originated 500 million years ago, and now they think now they changed it to 1 billion, just a little jump of 500 million years. They make such fantastic statements, and people are supposed to accept it as science. All of a sudden, their theory, just suddenly, all their theories change by 500 million years. And this is called science? We don't subscribe to this rascaldom. What we are reading, that is spoken by Krishna millions of years ago. The same thing we are studying today, that was spoken by the Acharyas hundreds of years ago. And thousands of years ago, and millions of years ago, and millions of years in the future, there will be people sitting and discussing Bhagavad Gita as it is. And there will be some foolish scientists also millions of years in the future. So we are not in the foolish department. We are receiving transcendental knowledge by the system of parampara. Ivang parampara praptam imang raja shiyo vidu sakale neha mata yoga nashta parantapa. This is the next verse after this. You can give the translation. If we understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, all confusion. Yeah, if we understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, all problems finished. There are so many, they present science as if they know everything, but there are so many problems in science, which they don't present to the public. Just like the two great scientific theories of the 20th century are relativity theory and quantum theory. So there just happens to be some small problem here, is that they don't agree with each other. So it is a great problem of science to try to bring them together. So let them have their problems. All their problems are caused because they don't accept Krishna. So we are not big scientists. We are not big intellectuals. We are not Nobel Prize winners. This author, how do you know, Solzhenitsyn, he left.
Yes.
They gave it to him because he left Russia. He spoke against the communist regime. So anyway, that's the Dynamite Prize. That is, in the modern age, that is considered the pinnacle of intellectual achievement, to get a Nobel Prize. Just like this, Henry Kissinger, he also got it. He was the American Secretary of State in the time of Richard Nixon. So he was organizing the Vietnam